who am their fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of the Christ, who also am a partaker of the glory about to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, exercising oversight, not by necessity, but willingly,
not for base gain, but readily, not as lording it over your possessions, but as being models for the flock. And this is the end. And when the chief shepherd is manifested, ye shall receive the unfading crown of glory. There are three simple things, because I know I don't have much to add, but three things. Brothers, we have been called to the highest calling. Can you imagine the Lord of glory putting his church, his sheep, his fold into our care? Can you imagine? Surely I can't advise the Lord, but I wonder if that was a wise decision. Can you imagine? This is the highest calling on your life. As you leave this place, I want these words of Peter to be written in your heart. His last words, "The elders which are among you, I exhort." Let the Holy Spirit write this upon your heart. There is no higher calling than this calling. The Lord has entrusted you with a trust so great, it was the Father's ultimate purpose for His Son. If you can imagine such responsibility, it should weigh upon your heart, and you should always be looking at the great shepherd of the sheep. There is no higher calling. You know that song we sing? There is no greater honor than to be given this awesome responsibility. I can't think of anything more. This is the end of what God is after. His church, which would be the body of His own Son, which would be the bride of Christ for eternity. Can you imagine a higher calling, a greater responsibility? This is what Peter exhorts in the end. But there's another thing, a second thing I want to just leave with you, an impression. Think about who's exhorting. It's Peter. Could there be a less perfect specimen for this highest calling? I say it's the impossible calling. You can't do this calling. I can't do this calling. Stephen can't do this calling, if he'll forgive me for saying that. Dana can't do this calling. Dale can't do this calling. God chooses Peter to show us that he can do the impossible through the least perfect. You know that scene? We read it in John 21 when they were all night fishing and no catch. You remember we read in the book Shepherding the whole explanation of that from our brother Stephen. And do you remember John? They're out all night and the Lord's at the shore. He says, "Do you get a catch? Do you remember? They said, no catch. These were professional fishermen. Now, if I was out there, I wouldn't have gotten a bite, a nibble. But these guys knew the Sea of Galilee like the back of their hand. And no catch. And then he says, put the net to the other side. And then there's a haul that you cannot imagine. 153 fish almost broke the net. And then John said, it is the Lord, Peter. It is the Lord. Now, if I wrote this story, I would have had John dive into the sea and swim to the Lord, because I think John would be a better specimen. You know, I can't think of anything so much wrong with John. He's the disciple whom the Lord loved. He lays his head upon his breast. The Lord whispers to him. You know, maybe he had something with temper. I don't know what the sons of thunder means. But I suspect it was his mother that wanted the place for James and John. He seems almost perfect. Why didn't the Lord put John? But he called Peter. Peter swam to the shore. And those words were, do you love me more than these? The denier, the blasphemer. I must have been fresh in his thoughts, that fire and that little porteress and that little lady that said, you're one of them. You're one of them. No, I'm not one of them. The cock began to crow. And the one who said, the others may abandon, but I'll die for you. This one came to the place that he cursed the Lord. Can you imagine? I suppose the Lord was probing him and saying, do you love me? His heart must have been sinking. He must have been saying, it's impossible. Lord, you know. You can almost read the agony. She read the words, Lord, you know. You know all things. You know, at best I can say, I'm attracted to you. Feed my lambs. Do you love me? Lord, you know. Don't you remember, Lord? I said I would never abandon you. John was at least at the cross. How can it be? You know all things. I'm attracted to you. Shepherd my sheep. Peter, are you attracted to me? Lord, you know all things. Why do you keep asking me? I am attracted to you. Brothers and sisters, I think this is the mercy of God. It shows us that he can take the one who has failed the greatest and failed the most and yet call him to this impossible calling. I don't know what your church experience has been. I've heard the agony of prayers here. I'll never forget the agony of Bobby's prayer this weekend. But I believe the Lord is saying, I have called you. I have chosen you. And I will do the impossible through you. That's the second point. It's all because the Lord, the Word of God says, we have been called according to purpose, like Stephen said. What a purpose. And that purpose is that those he has foreknown, he has predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. So this brings me to my third point. Peter was such an unlikely candidate. But the Lord said something to him. He had been dealing with him, the cross, all through the way. And then he said, Peter, here is the secret. When you were young, you went where you would go. But now that you're older, This is all he tells him. You will stretch forth your hands, and another shall lead you. Brothers and sisters, all the Lord is asking us today is to stretch forth our hands to the one who can do the impossible, that has called us to this highest calling. And do you remember the words Dana shared in 1 Chronicles chapter 29 about David? What was the word that came out over and over with David and with the people? They offered themselves willingly. That's all the Lord's looking for in you and me. As a matter of fact, when you read 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, he says, shepherd the flock of God willingly. This third thing is all he's looking for, a response. He'll do the rest. You humble yourself. You confess you can't do it. You confess, like Peter, you're not the right material. But he's able to do the impossible. And he has chosen to do the impossible through us. I remember 45 years ago, I stood right there. John, right where you are. I did two things. I was married to my wife here at a conference in 74. It's all Stephen's fault. I went to Brother Kahn. I'd already proposed to Linda. And I said to Brother Stephen after a youth conference at Wabana, do you think we should get married? I don't know what Linda would have done to me if he said no. But he said, yes. Get married at the conference in 6 weeks, because the conference in the end is about a wedding. And I stood there. But there's another thing. It was even more. In the book you've been reading about spiritual leadership, the first two messages were that 74 conference with Lance and Brother Stephen, the one I was married at. And in that conference, there was a call that went out for spiritual leadership. And 45 years ago, I stood there, married Linda, and accepted the call. I remember Brother Stephen said in the wedding ceremony, let's give it 5 years. We'll see if in 5 years, and then we'll know. It's been 9 times 5 years. And this I know. There is a calling on our life as we leave this place. It's the most important calling. It's the highest calling. It's an impossible calling. And he's looking for a single response. You stretch out your hands. You say, Lord, I give myself unreservedly to you for this on high calling. And then you confess. If all you can say is, I am willing, that will be enough. He will do the rest. You can't do it anyway. I want to ask you to do something unusual. I've never done it. Everyone that wants to respond to this calling, stand up. Lift up your heart in this moment and say to the Lord, Lord, I am willing. I offer myself willingly. In the Spirit, stretch out your arms and say, Lord, you do the impossible. Your church is your most precious possession. You have trusted it to us. You do the work we can't do. But we offer ourselves to you. And let's just do this for a few moments. Lord, I'm thankful you gathered us these few days to hear about your great purpose. To hear unbelievably how you've included us in that so great purpose. And to see how you entrust to us this highest calling. How can it be? What mercy has been shown to us. Now, Lord, we know it's impossible. We know you haven't picked the best. But we believe you've called us. And we stand here as a testimony to that calling. And we say, Lord, take us. We offer ourselves willingly. We stretch forth our hands and say, Lord, we've led ourselves through our life, through many things, but no longer. You lead us. You do the work of conforming us. You do the work of making us, just as you did in Peter. And then we see the transformed Peter at the end, exhorting his fellow elders. May your will be done. May you go with us. May your purpose be fulfilled. In Jesus' name. Amen.